for the best Ravens coverage. What time is that? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Victory Monday as the Ravens win 35-10 over Buffalo. Orioles in the playoffs. We'll get into that later on in the hour. But let's hear from the Ravens, the participants themselves. National TV, very impressive, dominating performance against the previously undefeated Bills. At Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, like John Harbaugh, talking about the Bills, their defensive philosophy, and how the Ravens kind of put it on them a little bit on offense.
Yeah, I mean, they have a good philosophy. They play great defense doing it. They put Nickel on the field. They figure they can. They're penetrating 4-3 defense. They try to hit gaps, and then they fill the gaps up on the perimeter, on the edges. I mean, when you go big, you've seen them do in the past. We played them before with DBs that show up to stop the run. That's what they do. And it's worked. You know, they try to, you know, horizontally kind of defend the whole field horizontally, and they add the defensive backs as you gap out. So, but our guys took advantage of that because they blocked them. When you block them, that makes the difference.
And we talked about it all week, and because I gave the sizes of those defensive players all week long. They're not big guys. It was just not a good matchup, you know, for the Ravens. And I thought that they were going to be able to run the ball, and they did. And we talked about their linebackers, you know, Spector being 230 pounds, and the safety got knocked out just trying to tackle Henry. I mean, that's a 250-pound dude that's bigger than most of your defense, a lot of your defensive players. And the Ravens, Harbs is right. They definitely took advantage of it.
Ravens rushed for 271. They averaged 8 yards a carry. And correct me if I'm wrong, it's the second straight week where they've rushed for over 250 and held the opponents to less than 100. Only 81 for the Buffalo Bills last night.
Yeah. And, well, you know, when you get down, run game kind of goes
right,
goes out the door, you know. So, yeah, they, and Bob, I didn't think it was a good matchup for their run game either against the Ravens. Well, the Ravens are real good in the run defense, but to me, their O line is not the most physical, knock you off the ball kind of guys. And the Ravens' defensive line, you know, because I said the center wasn't very good. And I said Travis Jones is going to be able to handle him, and he did. Travis Jones was in the backfield a lot, no matter what center it was. They had two centers come in because one guy got, you know, knocked in the head.
Broderick Washington was in there knocking people to the turf.
Yeah, and Matabike.
Yeah, it was a dominant front seven performance.
And they've been that way. They've been that way the whole year. I mean, because the guy that's made the big jump this year has been Travis Jones. I mean, that dude, because the one sack, he should have got the sack again, you know, and was it, yeah, Van Noy kind of reaped the benefits again from him, from Travis Jones. But you know what? Yeah, Travis Jones going to get paid eventually, too.
Now, for the Ravens offensively, going up against that Bills defense that John Harbaugh just talked about and the little nuances that they bring to the equation, Ravens handled them quite nicely, thank you very much. But something we've been talking about, not just us, but everyone. Identity of the offense. Well, John Harbaugh, is that vision becoming clearer for that identity?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really excited about the offense itself. I think Todd Monken and the offensive coaches, Willie Taggart, the running back coach, all of our guys have done a great job with kind of working through all the details of how to, you know, actualize the vision, the idea. Okay, we could be this, we could be that, but you got to put it together. So it's starting to come together, I think.
And I agree. I think it is coming together. We're starting to get a vision of who they are. And I think that has taken some time. And because, you know, you got to build it. Okay, we got to protect the O-line. You know, how do we mesh, you know, Henry in there and all that? So I think it's definitely coming together. And will it change? Yeah. And I think the last two games, Bob, and I think this is another one. We're going to have three games in a row that they're going to want to run the football. They're going to want to run the football against the Bengals. And I think they're going to do the exact same thing that they've been doing, because the Bengals don't stop the run well. And Buffalo, that was a great matchup for the Ravens there. And Dallas is awful stopping the run. So I think that continue to march at that, and keep riding, you know, the two backs and Lamar. Lamar's getting his runs. I mean, he only carried it six times, Bob, but he took some hits. You know, and the one that he fumbled, you know, he kind of got rattled pretty good.
Oh, no doubt about that. But as our caller from Chicago said earlier, and I apologize, forgot the name, but, you know, this is great, winning this way and stacking these W's. And, you know, we go back to 2019 again. You're down 17 in the fourth quarter. You know, can you overcome that sort of thing, throwing the football?
I would say, as we stand here today, I would say probably no. 5 weeks from now, possibility, because the O-line. It's all about the O-line, you know, because the receivers will get open. Lamar will throw the ball, and they have enough receivers and backs to catch the ball, but can they protect? That's the thing. You know, 5-6 weeks from now, yeah, they're down 17, and they can protect, sure. Because look at when Lamar had time yesterday, he can get the ball down the field farther, and he made some hell of a throws down the field because they had some chunk plays.
It's been 88-81-05-7 The Fan. It's news from the Nest here on this Victory Monday. Ravens 2-2, winning two in a row, including last night's blowout win on national TV against Buffalo. Kyle Hamilton, one of the standouts defensively, talks about getting them big stops when they needed to.
Yeah, no, it's big to get stops like that. You know, offense picks us up a lot, and we got to come up too. If they can't get a first down, something like that, and we're trying to chew clock to, you know, get out of here with a win. And I think, you know, it was a trick play that they – it was kind of like the last fight, I guess, they had.
Yeah, it turned into a turnover, by the way.
Yeah, and I don't know that – yeah, that was their last fight. But, I mean, if they go in and score – the fight, then it's on. Then
it was 21-10, right? At the time,
it would have been 21-17. Yeah, if they and then Bob, it's like, oh no, here we go again.
But why the play call to get it to Buffalo here? You're kind of moving the ball anyway. Why get a little dopey with a flea flicker sort of thing there?
I don't know. You know, head scratcher and McDermott. I read it in Pro Football Talk this morning. He said, I'm going to have a sit-down with my offensive coordinator, a long discussion on why.
Yeah, and we'll never do that again.
Yes.
Stay with Kyle Hamilton here. Last 2 weeks, he's been stepping up. So did that mean the defense started to play well?
Yeah, I think so. I think when we get into meetings Tuesday, that one long pass on the scramble drill, that's going to eat at us a little bit. But you know, I think we played a good game as a whole. Pass rush kept him contained for the most part. I thought DBs covered really well, even though Nate dropped some money today. But, you know, Steve too, so we got two culprits. But, I think it all started up front. I think we were controlling the line of scrimmage really well. Travis, Beeks, Brody, all those guys, Herb.
I guess they got to pay money if they drop interceptions. Stevens, he's going to always be paying money, I think. Wiggins will make some plays, but yeah. And the 52-yard play, that was the only one that killed him. And I think it was Eddie Jackson that got lost, you know, in space out there. But, I mean, it was a hell of a play by the court. Right. Not many people make that play. Maybe Josh Allen. That's about it.
Yeah, he's flying out of bounds, and he's heaving it down the field.
Yeah, and he's got three dudes chasing him wanting to get a sack.
But that was, to your point, that was the play. Oh, by the way, let's praise Ty Johnson. Terp. Friend of the show for scoring the only touchdown for the Bills. So there's a good news. You can have your cake and eat it, too. Sort of thing. And then finally, news from the Nest. Lamar Jackson talked after the game about how the run and the play action game all starting to come together all of a sudden.
Going to the gun, you know, being on the center and like play action game, the run game, it was just good all across the board, you know, like I said earlier.
And it was, I mean, when you're running like they're running, play action pass is going to be real good because those linebackers and stuff, they got to keep inching forward and inching forward. And, you know, you play action pass, that's why you got those creases because your linebackers can't get the depth they need to get to because they're playing a run.
It's 58-81-05-7 The Fan. When we come back, let's count some money, hopefully, with buy or sell. Talk about the many sports subjects
of this Monday. And then Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com, will look at yesterday's NFL action, preview the two games coming up tonight. Then the AFC North report coming up at 12:45. Pittsburgh, they fall to the Fightin' Flaccos. We'll get into that and more. American League East and Beyond report coming up at 1:15. Orioles taking on the Royals tomorrow. Four-ish down at Oriole Park, Camden Yards. We got you covered on the Fan. We'll talk about all the things going on at Pickles Pub. We're bringing Chuck Bucks to downtown Baltimore here on the Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Finney and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Finney and Haney, 1057, The Fan here on this Victory Monday. Ravens 2-2, blowing out Buffalo last night. Orioles hopefully achieve victory tomorrow and the next day. What was that, Mr. Krabs, the old SpongeBob? And the next day. And the next day. When Plankton tried. Anyway, we're digressing in a big way, but the Orioles take it on Kansas City tomorrow. Game one of the American League wild card tussle. Got a doubleheader tonight in baseball. We'll get into all of that and more. Maryland's 3-2, losing at Bloomington against the Hoosiers. They get the bye to reflect on why things aren't what they expected they would be. Didn't Mike Loxley say this was the best Maryland team he's had?
Yes, he did.
In his 6 years.
And we need to start thinking about championships.
Well, right now, a bowl victory might be far-fetched. And we shall see. We wish the best, obviously, because we're all Terp fans here. But it is what it is. But Nolan McGraw, before we get to the sports-related subjects, Vinny's going to count that dough for us all by herself.
Yeah, well, the Dow is down 103. The S&P's up 4. NASDAQ is up 32. DraftKings is down 99 cents.
What?
Yeah, 39.36. Under Armour's down 3 cents.
We'll get our sports topic started here with the team the Orioles took down this weekend, the Minnesota Twins. Just a little over a month ago, Bob, you mentioned this, looked like they were very much on track to secure a wild card spot, but they have since collapsed. A terrible record in September, finishing just above 500 on the year. Now, that's the fourth time in Rocco Baldelli's 6-year tenure as manager that they will have a winning record. But some fans not happy with the performance. The fire Baldelli chants could be heard throughout the weekend. Players publicly backed their manager after the games. Local beat writers also reporting that he will, in fact, return as manager in 2025. But buy or sell, Bob, Baldelli's seat should at the very least be getting warm.
Oh, I'm buying it 100%. Now, they did make the playoffs last year.
Yep.
And as Nolan said, they've been close other times. Injuries, Buxton gets hurt a lot. Royce Lewis, he dealt with injuries. Correa was out for an extended period of time. They let Sonny Gray and a couple of other starting pitchers leave in the offseason. But when you're, what, first week of September and you have a 95% chance to make the playoffs and you don't, someone needs to be held accountable. And it's going to be Rocco Baldelli. But as you said, the president and Rocco are both going to return next season. But I'm guessing the margin for error is good. Because Detroit's only going to get better. Yeah. Kansas City's only going to get better. Cleveland has kind of established itself as an organization that wins Tampa-like, if you will. So, yeah. Good luck with that.
A little college football here. Travis Hunter continues to deliver highlight reel-worthy plays every single week. The two-way sensation for Colorado. Had a touchdown and an interception in Saturday's game against UCF. Went viral in the process for striking a Heisman pose as a celebration. This raises the question, could he win the prestigious award? As a non-quarterback, he is at a disadvantage. Just 4 winners since 2000 have been non-QBs. And if you are a running back or wide receiver that's going to bring home the hardware, usually those guys play for a very high-profile school. Buy or sell, Vinny, Travis Hunter will be, at the very least, a Heisman finalist.
Yeah, Bob would probably be the better one to ask.
They have to keep winning. That's going to be the key for them.
And then he's got to make phenomenal plays in big games. Like, when Desmond Howard won it, Bob, he did the high. Was that against Ohio State?
It was Florida State. He returned a punt for a touchdown.
Yeah. You know, so... Yeah, and I was there when Tim Brown won it. I was at Notre Dame when Timmy won it. And his signature moment was national TV game, Michigan State, brought back 2 punts for touchdowns That was his kind of signature one. But, he played well throughout. And I think it's going to be tough for Travis Hunter because some of these quarterbacks are starting to play pretty good.
Yeah, and what are they, 4-1?
Yeah.
Colorado, and they they got the win. UCF had been undefeated, I believe, going into that game. He kind of puffy pants them. But Milroe had a big game against Georgia. Running back for Boise State's playing out of his mind, too.
Yes, he is.
There are a lot of candidates for this honor, for sure.
We'll stay in college football here. The news last week of Matthew Sluka leaving UNLV, it sparked a lot of debate around the NIL landscape and college athletics. But in their first game without him, the Rebels performed just fine. Blew out Fresno State 59-14. Now, keep in mind, this was a game they were favored to win by just 2.5, so it's not like they were expected to roll through Fresno State with or without Sluka. Now sitting at 4-0 on the season, the Rebels, they've got some wins over bigger schools like Kansas and Houston, plus a very favorable rest of their schedule. Buy or sell, Bob, the loss of Sluka will not stop UNLV from achieving double-digit wins.
I'm going to buy that. Vinny brought it up last week. We had Chip Patterson. He mentioned it as well. It's like, this guy completed 48% of his passes.
No.
Very good running quarterback, but, they're 2.5-point favorites, and they win by 38 or whatever it was. UNLV's ranked this week, as a matter of fact. So, hey, keep on running, Rebels. Churn into victory, baby. Sluka, he's a guy that, I'm not going to, dismiss his collegiate achievements at Holy Cross. I never heard of the dude.
Yeah.
Now he became a target point maybe for bigger things going on in college football.
And then the other quarterback came in, threw for like 180 and rushed for over 100 yards. Yeah. So, they're like, Sluka who?
By the way, if they are able to reach 10 wins, as Bob predicted here, it would be the first time in program history since 1984.
That was Randall Cunningham, if I'm not mistaken.
They
right?
came close last year. They had 9. So on track this year.
Right.
How about the Jaguars? Their nightmare season continued yesterday. A 24-20 loss to the Texans. So much hope coming into the year. Lawrence got paid. Owner Shad Khan proclaimed it the best Jags roster in franchise history. And now the heat is turning up for Doug Peterson as head coach. Some comments from him after the loss seem to direct blame at his players. Reports also indicating that Peterson and GM Trent Baalke don't see eye to eye. Buy or sell, Vinny. Peterson will be fired before the season's over.
No. Yeah, with Trent Baalke, this is the exact same thing with Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco. It's the exact same thing happened. Whereas Trent's a good BSer, so he'll probably get Peterson out of there. Trent should probably be getting out of there.
But what do you do to replace him, though?
Because
Trevor Lawrence has regressed for the second time in his career, it seems.
I'm telling you what, I think if I'm the owner, I'm going to go get Bill Belichick.
What about Vrabel?
If not Belichick, Vrabel. Yeah. I like both Patriot dudes, I think both of them would be good. And let them kind of hire the GM. That's kind of what I want. Like, I wasn't a guy that, hey, coach, you got to do this. And no, when the season starts, man, the coach, you're in charge of the team. You do what you got to do. Not like, well, that's my guy. You got to play him. Come on, we're all in this together. That's the stupidest stuff I've ever heard. And that's what they're doing.
We'll close with this. The Yankees, they had 2 goals this weekend. Lock up the top seed in the American League and stay healthy. Well, they accomplished one of those. They will have home field advantage throughout the postseason. But a broken finger for Anthony Rizzo has casted some doubt over their lineup ahead of the ALDS. Aaron Boone didn't sound any alarms, called it a pain tolerance thing. But the idea of being without Rizzo should be a major concern given the in-house replacements. Ben Rice, Oswaldo Cabrera, those are your top candidates right now to play first base if Rizzo can't go. Buy or sell, Bob. Rizzo at less than 100%, still better than those two.
Broken finger, though?
And he's
in his non-throwing hand.
Yeah,
it's his glove hand.
Good defensive player. The bat's kind of taking a hike on him. Did have a couple of hits against the Orioles last week. Better than the other options. I will soft sell that. Because that Rice, we saw him earlier in the year, he's expected to be the next great thing, kind of a younger Rizzo, if you will. But I don't know. Rizzo's got playoff experience. I don't know. I'm gonna hard sell it. Matter of fact, how's that sound?
Well, they know what life without him is like. He's only played like 90 games this year.
Yep. Rizzo. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Just tuning into the show. Sad news in the world of sports is Dikembe Mutombo, Basketball Hall of Famer, passes away at the age of 58 due to brain cancer. So one of the more colorful characters in the NBA. And remember at Georgetown, him and Alonzo Mourning, they were the Twin Tower guys for John Thompson back in the late 80s, early 90s. So sad news there. And Joe Platania, our friend here on our program, Joey P., regular contributor, longtime Baltimore sports writer, Calvert Hall guy, local legend. He passed away as well. So mourning the loss of two people that we remember fondly here on this Monday.
But I think when we pick games, I probably won't be going that way.
Yeah, we'll be doing that around 1:30. Stay tuned for that. Got the AFC North whip around, whatever the hell you want to call it, coming up in a few. And the baseball playoff picture coming up at 1:15. But let's get a couple calls in. 410-583-1057 is the number. Ravens, they're 2-2, demolishing the Bills last night on national TV. And the Orioles and Royals start the wild card round tomorrow down at Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Let's go to Hubie in Baltimore. Tomorrow. Hubie, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
I want to quote
Harbaugh, what he said in his press conference. As far as if there's, I don't want to hear anything good. If there's anything good, I don't want to hear it. So I kind of really like get what he's saying in a sarcastic manner, because he really don't know where the team is at right now. It's like 50-50, get rid of the hoopla, keep your chin down, and keep chucking away. So, you know, he's not trying to get ahead of himself, and I'm not one of his biggest supporters. But I really got when he said he don't want to hear it.
Well, the thing about it is in today's world, they're going to hear it. Yeah. You know, I mean, right now, everybody's going to be kissing their ass. That's just the way it is. I mean, that's what we're doing. That's what, you know, I'm sure all their, whatever, Facebook or Twitter or whatever they're on, you know, and when they go home, everybody's kissing their butts, you know. So Harbs may not want that just because he wants to keep them level-headed. That's their job. That's the coach's job. And that's the team. When they get inside that building, then they've got to control it then. You got to know how to win, too.
Absolutely. That's why I liked how he handled the press conference, because if they go to Cincinnati next week and tank, they'd be ready to chop his head off. From the offense coordinator to defense coordinator, special teams, everybody from top to bottom. And he's the man in charge, so he's going to get the blame.
And he was still taking heat. Thanks, Hubie, for the call, for the timeout gaffe last night, too.
No, yeah, no doubt. And you know, it would have been a bigger deal if they'd lost. You know, that one, you know, kind of get a free pass because you win 35-10, because it's like, what's it really? But what he's got to do, they got to figure out who's helping Harbs, or Harbs, you got to listen to somebody, or you got to have somebody come tell you, you know, what the rules are, whatever. They need to have, you know, we talk about the secondary and their communication. Harbs' communication with whoever that person is has got to tell him, John, no, can't. You know, I mean, that's what they got to do. They got to have somebody that does that.
You would think.
Yes.
Let's go to
Maybe that's Jerry Rosberg.
Yeah,
show.
Right. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's up?
What's happening, fellas? Glad you guys are okay. Back to work, especially you, Bob, and Vinny, of course. It's very hard when you hear about guys. I gotta say, seems like Josh Allen's gonna be the Dan Marino of the 21st century. I mean, we made the running backs and wide receivers look mediocre. I mean, what were they doing letting go of Dredd? But Henry, I think another year or two, pile up the odds and make him a Hall of Famer. Justice Hill, I like him. Kind of reminds me of Terry Metcalf. Going back, I know I'm going back in time. And these shortstops, especially with Baltimore and the Royals, Witt and Henderson, guess here that Monday, A-Rod and Jeter, would you say, I mean, other than Cody Seager and the guy from Milwaukee, Adams, these are the best shortstops now that we have right now.
Ketel Marte is having a nice little year for the Arizona Diamondbacks as well. Trey Turner's no slouch. Doing his thing in Philly, whether it's center field or a shortstop. But, yeah, Corey Seager, he's a stud. He's got two World Series rings, one with the Dodgers, one with Texas. Was hurt a lot this season. Hey, but Gunnar and Bobby Witt were in the same draft class.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt went number two behind Adley. Gunnar went later, went early in the second round. I mean, it's all worked out for both teams, I would say, in the end. And Bobby Witt's already been paid as he took a below-market value deal to stay with the Kansas City Royals. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's go get Q in Pikesville. Q, what's up?
Hey, good day, fellas. How y'all doing? First and foremost, man, rest in peace to the Congolese brother, Mutombo. Long live him. A great for basketball.
Yep.
He won't be forgotten.
No doubt.
Number two, I heard the dude that flip-flop from one rival team to the next in Owens Mills, still a Brian. I heard him and Cowboy Rayshon laughing and joking.
They were kind of blasting you earlier today, if you heard.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, it's funny. It's comical coming from them. But at the end of the day, man, I'm not making no excuses. I leave that to y'all in Baltimore for y'all local teams with excuses. We lost fair and square. But, Vinny, I've been saying like two seasons ago, man, this dude, Salah, as well as JD, Joe Douglas, they both should have been gone two seasons ago, man. That was an abomination as far as coaching is concerned yesterday. You understand what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, it is what it is. We lost. I'm trying to keep a cool head here and be positive. If we beat Minnesota and London, I would not be shocked because the Broncos do have a good defense. You understand what I'm saying? We can't let that slide. So
and Buffalo's not that good, Q.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, I've been saying that to y'all like two seasons ago. But at the end of the day, when I talked to y'all last week, Vinny, I was saying Devontae's situation. I think, because I know y'all pay attention to the votes, the gambling with Vegas and all that. They got him coming to us. Now, you mentioned Mike Williams and Lazard and them. Them guys is not number twos, man. Every team is going to come in there, stack the box to take Breece away, and double team Jarrett. So at the end of the day, we still need another receiver. So at the end of the day, I hope we get this guy and open up the offense. And as far as the O's is concerned, I keep hearing y'all with these wet dream conversations talking about facing the Yanks.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Y'all need to focus on KC first because that's not going to be a walk in the park for y'all.
No.
Y'all pitching?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day,
starting pitching's good enough. It's the bullpen.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, focus on them first. I don't even want to hear no Yankee talking until y'all take care of business.
I'll be talking.
Guys,
we'll be talking. We'll be talking trash on Friday. Q. Jets. You know, Minnesota can get to the quarterback as well as any team in football, too.
Yes,
and if he's already running for his life, old Aaron Rodgers. How about getting a kicker? How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, Tucker sucks and he's 10 times better than, well, he is suckier than he's ever been in his career. Let me rephrase that Baker Mayfield style. Greg the leg?
Yeah.
Come on, dude. Denver, though, we talked about it earlier. They won at Tampa and at Meadowlands back-to-back weeks.
That's pretty good win.
That's a strong Sean Payton. We congratulate you, but that defense is pretty strong. We'll come back, get to the AFC North as the fighting Flaccos. Did the old Baltimore Ravens a favor. Cleveland, I don't know what's going on there. And then Cincinnati got a win. They're first, but they got the Ravens coming up. You want to join us for NFL lunch, everybody, you can. So stay on them phone lines. Get in here at 410-583-1057. We'll talk to you at 1. Throws for two touchdowns as the Colts hold off the Steelers. 27-24 as Indy evens their record at 2-2. Pittsburgh, that was their first loss of the year. Justin Fields, if you want to look at it from a fantasy football perspective, had some pretty impressive numbers, threw a touchdown, ran for two more, but they suffered that first loss, lose another offensive lineman in the process. But for the Colts, Anthony Richardson, hip issue, got hurt last year. We were talking right before we came back on the air. Since high school, his appearances have been limited through Florida, now into the NFL, and Joe Flacco is a nice fallback option, but Richardson's supposed to be your franchise quarterback and can't stay on the field right now.
Yeah, and he's a really inconsistent like he's boom or bust when he throws. Whereas the receivers and the tight ends, they're probably happy with Joe Flacco. Because, I mean, Joe gets the ball out on time and all those things work. Richardson, you don't know where it's coming from and when it's coming.
Yeah, Michael Pittman had his best game in quite some time. Jonathan Taylor had another big day running the football.
Sprain.
But what about Pittsburgh here with the offensive line problems that they have? Would it behoove them to continue with Justin Fields as the QB, given his pretty strong mobility there?
Yeah, you almost have to, because, I mean, you got Russell Wilson, who's going to be healthy here pretty quick and coming off a calf, and then your O-line can't protect, and he's going to be running around where Russell Wilson's not like he used to be in Seattle, where he moved around, you know, and everything, but I'd probably keep going with Fields because he can get himself out of danger.
Also in the division during the 1 o'clock window in the NFL, week number 4, Cincinnati must win situation against Carolina, and the LSU duo doing their thing.
Panthers rush 4. Burrow has lots of time, and there's Ja'Marr Chase with the catch, breaking tackles, Chase down the sidelines. Panthers chasing Chase. They won't catch him.
A lot of chases going on there in Cincinnati. That was Fox on the call. Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, one of his two touchdown passes. Chase Brown rushed for two TDs as Cincinnati beat Carolina 34-24. Andy Dalton threw two touchdown passes. Xavier Leggett was involved in that one in a big way. And Chuba Hubbard rushed for over 100 yards. So it's not like it was a clean victory, Vinny, for the Bengals, but a victory nonetheless. And they really needed that one.
Yeah, when you go on the road and you hadn't won yet, doesn't matter who you're playing or what, it's a tough game. And Carolina's much more competitive now. So, you know, that wasn't an easy game for them. So coming home to their season's on the line Sunday.
Well, yesterday was in Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it? I thought it was in Carolina.
I think I was at Cincinnati, right? Yeah, it was at Cincinnati.
Okay, so, all right. But I think their season, because if they lose, Bob, what are they, 1-4 then? Yeah, it's kind of a tough row there because then you're down in a division too. So they've got to pull out all stops. But I think it's and I would watch the film. It's a good matchup, I think, for the Ravens offense versus their D.
Now the Raiders coming off a loss at home to Carolina.
Yep.
Coming off a win in Baltimore. Took on the Cleveland Browns yesterday. And a former Terp got himself into the fun.
Turner this time on the end around. Breaking a tackle inside the 5. Plunges his way into the end zone.
CBS on the call. DJ Turner, first 3 years at Maryland, transferred to Pitt for his final season. He rushes for a TD, 20-16. Raiders over the Cleveland Browns. Raiders play without Devontae Adams yesterday.
And Crosby.
And Crosby on the defensive side of things. Deshaun Watson threw for a touchdown, also threw a pick. One of Cleveland's TDs was a scoop and score on a fumble. They fall to 1-3 on the season. There were some dust-ups on the sidelines as Jameis Winston had to be restrained from going after one of the tackles. And there's some leadership skills. Let's go attack a young offensive lineman who may have missed an assignment. We get that. But, dude, you're the backup quarterback. Calm the hell down. But another loss for the Cleveland Browns as they continue to struggle to put points on the board.
Yeah, and that's not going to be the last one either. They can't run the football, Bob's biggest problem is. They can't run the football, and their offensive line's not good. So that hurts you trying to run the football and then protecting the quarterback, too. And Watson, let's face it now. It's been, 3 years now? He ain't never going to be the guy from Houston.
Well, last week we were talking about it with Nolan during one of the buyer sells, where he said, I'm not a read option guy.
I don't run.
Yeah. It's like, okay. It's like Josh Hader going, I don't want to pitch more than three innings or three outs.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's not how this works.
When he was at Clemson and at Houston,
sure,
he was running all over the place.
And he suffered the knee injury early. I think it's his rookie year with Houston, but bounced back. And he is a shell of the guy that led the Texans to the playoffs.
Yeah. Bob, that kind of reminds me of like RG3 when he said, I'm a pocket passer. No, you just took the team to the playoffs running around doing all the things that you do. Know who you are.
Yeah, and we'll get to the rest of the scores coming up when we do picks at 1:30. Also give you a standings update and look ahead to the Week 5 schedule. Got the Orioles taking on the Royals tomorrow down at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. We'll break that one down coming up at 1:15 when we get to the baseball report. We have time for a call. Do we have time? Let's squeeze a phone call in. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fed. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. You want to join us? Now's your chance to get in, because we're gonna have some NFL lunch with you, the fan. Let's go to Sean in Minnesota. Sean, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, I guess, where you guys are at.
Correct.
Yeah. Shout out. First of all, I want to say I'm always rooting for Falele and Bateman to do good. Yep. Rooting for the Gopher guys to do good. They both had good games yesterday.
Yeah.
So I hope they keep up that momentum. I was really sad Henry didn't get the extra yard for the full two. I'm sure he wanted it. Don't they have somebody on the sideline to tell the coach, hey, coach, Henry there needs an extra yard for a...
To me, that's Chad Steele's job. That'd probably be Chad Steele's job on the sidelines.
Huh, all right. And then shout out to the Vikings over here.
Hell yeah.
I mean, look at... I didn't think KOC was the right choice, but I guess apparently he was. And Brian Flores, I mean, this guy can coach, can he not? And then lastly, big shout out to, what's his name? What's the fellow there? Young Koo. Shout out to Young Koo. And one for Flacco for dropping an L on the squealers. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
All right, Sean, a lot of shout outs there. Yeah. Young, hey. Koo kicked four field goals, including the game winner for Atlanta as they stunned the Saints. But, you know, making some interesting points there about the don't they have someone to let. Derrick Henry leads the NFL in rushing now based on his last 2 weeks, the performance. But I'm guessing 200 yards. I have no clue if this is reality or farcical. But I'm guessing 200-yard games might bonus time thing maybe within the contract realm or no?
I doubt. He's had, what, six in his career? Something like that?
He's had quite a few. He was aware of it, by the way. During the post game with NBC, they asked him, hey, you came up a yard short, and he was like, oh, I shouldn't have fumbled at the goal line.
Yeah, he had it.
Yeah.
And then it turned into a Patrick Ricard touchdown. So everybody wins. Including the Ravens, 35-10. We'll come back. If you're on the phones, we'll get you. You want to be on the phones, call in now. 410-583-1057. NFL lunch is next. Got the American League East and Beyond report. Doubleheader. New York is at Atlanta. If the team split, they both make the playoffs. If either team sweeps, Arizona gets in. So there's some intrigue down in Atlanta for sure. And we'll look at our picks, college and pro, for week five of the collegiate landscape and week four of the NFL, which isn't over yet. We have two games tonight, including one on the Fan.